In a lot of ways, life is about the Doors. Not Jim Morrison, the Doors. Only the baby boomers would have gotten that joke there. We come into Doors, we go out of Doors, and it's no coincidence, I think, that even as the Holy Spirit was speaking to me during that prayer time, that he talked about transitions, and transitions is almost always where you're leaving one door and going into another. It's interesting to me. When we open doors, we shut doors. Sometimes we slam doors. Anybody slam any doors lately? Sometimes we hide behind doors. My brother and I have a twin brother, and we got along swimmingly as we were growing up. No fights. I kid. We fought all the time. And as we got older, the fights got more intense. And so if you were to go back, and hopefully it's not like this now that the house has been sold, but if you were to go back shortly after we left the house that we grew up in, you would see multiple doors that had just been ravaged. I mean, doors coming off of hinges, door frames being pushed, because what would happen is when we would fight, you know, if one of us got a blow off on the other one that really hurt, you know, like it would just push you into this rage mode. And nothing would stop you, not even a closed door. So one of us who did the punching and realized that that set the other off into a rage, we would run. The fight turned into flight because we were afraid. And we ran, and we would slam a door behind us and put all of our might against the door so that our brother couldn't make entry. And but that didn't stop. It wasn't like, oh, please, you know, little pig, let me in. No, it was, I'm gonna huff and I'm gonna puff and I'm gonna blow this door down and take a running juggernaut type cramming into the door frame. And so oftentimes, and it was when things started to break where we were like, okay, wait a second, things are getting a little out of hand here, because you know, when first of all, mom's not gonna be happy about this. And she can have her own, you know, level of rage. Right, Larry? And then furthermore, when dad gets home and he sees that we've broken his house, that's not good. So there's these doors, and there's lots of doors that we experience in life. Doors that are closed, doors that we want to push in, doors that are locked. Have you ever been locked out of your house just by show of hands? You locked yourself out of the house? Yeah, it's frustrating, right? Some time ago, back in September, we bought a new house. We'd lived in a house for 14 years, and we had lived in that house long enough to know that we needed not just one hide-a key, but like multiple hideaway keys. Anybody know what I'm talking about? We have locked ourselves out of the house enough times to realize we need a key that is hidden. And oftentimes, if you invite somebody over to your house or you need something done while you're on vacation, you always know, well, there's a hide a key if I need somebody to do something. And what happens is they get the key, but then they don't put the key back. And so when you're locked out, you're like, where's the key? And then you know, another fight ensues between you and your spouse. Like, you had the key. No, I had the key. And, it, you know, this whole thing. And then you realize, wait a second, we're locked out. So it's frustrating, isn't it? So we moved into this new house, and the new house has a code, like a key code door lock. You guys seen those? Where you can punch in the code and, you know, you can change the code or whatever. So when we bought the house didn't come with keys. It only came with a code and a garage door opener. And we had never had a garage before. And so this was a new experience for us as well. But the problem with the front door is not only did it have the key code, but it also had a lockable, you know, handle, right? And it wasn't one of those regular lockable handles. It was one of those handles that on the inside, you couldn't tell if it was locked. You guys understand what I'm talking about? Like, you can press the handle down or turn the knob, and it will turn even though it's locked on the outside. It's not locked on the inside. Does that make sense to you guys? Everybody follow me? So shortly after we bought the house, we got the code. We know how to get in. We got the garage door open. We can get in that way. Well, I had come in. The garage was closed. And I had taken the kids out outside in the backyard to play, pulled the door behind me, and you will play for a little while. And then it got hot, and then we were like, we should go in and get water because we're thirsty. And I go and I press the handle, and sure enough, it was locked. The back door was locked. I was like, okay, no problem. There's a code on the front door. I walk around. I punch in the code on the front door. The upper lock, the deadbolt unlocks. I go to press the handle. Oh, no. It's locked as well. I don't have a garage door opener to open the garage that's closed, so I am officially locked out of my house. Like, this sucks. You know what I'm talking about. It's frustrating. And you think it's going to be expensive because you need to call a locksmith. Well, thankfully, my wife wasn't at home at the time, and so she had a garage door opener in her vehicle, and so we just had to wait. In this situation, no love lost. It was just like, you know, whatever you're doing, can you leave now and come home, because I'm sweaty, I'm hot, the kids are thirsty, and they're frustrated, trying every door, looking for every window, trying to get in. Nothing more frustrating, I think, in a lot of ways than being locked out of your own house. Very frustrating. Matter of fact, it wasn't until March that we actually got keys made for the house. So a good 6 months we lived there without getting keys made. And it was just an unwritten rule in our house: do not lock the bottom locks ever, you know, because we need to make sure, especially on that front door, that we can get in. But closed doors, locked doors can be quite frustrating, you know. I think there's an analogy here with life, you know, that there are closed doors, locked doors ahead of us that we experience often. Have you ever sensed or experienced the closed door of an opportunity? Closed door on a new job, you didn't get the job, or a closed door of a promotion that you were promised, or the closed door of, you know, a better financial future, but that door never opened. You seem to be locked out. You know, it's frustrating, it's heartbreaking, it sucks, right? Some of you experienced the closed door of relationship. You thought it would be one way forever, that he would be your one and only, that she would be with you till the end, but the door closed on that relationship. You thought your kids would grow up to be your best friends, and now the relationship has strained and you hardly ever see them. The door is closed. You thought you could count on that person, but they walked out, slammed the door in your face. The door's closed. Maybe for you, it could be the closed door of, in the area of your health. The door seemed to shut when the doctor said cancer. When the test came back positive, it seemed like a slammed door in your face. When infertility was the consuming topic, and it was scary and frustrating, it was heartbreaking. This is sadly the reality of the life that we live in, a fallen world. We live in a world that's fallen and it's full of closed doors. When God created Adam and Eve, he set them in a garden, every door wide open. Matter of fact, there were no doors. There didn't need to be any doors. Freedom in our relationship with God. But then sin entered the picture and slammed the door on our relationship with God. And thus, relationship, the promise of a better future, the promise of prosperity and provision, the promise of good health, all of that was slammed. The door was slammed on that when sin entered the picture because of this fallen world. We see, if we fast forward through the history in the Bible, we see that the Israelites, they had a relationship with God. They were called the children of God. And even in one situation in the Old Testament, there was some bad muju happening, and the angel of death was going to come through and wipe out the firstborn of every child through the plagues. Firstborn child of every family. But the Israelites got the word that said, just put blood over the doorpost and the death would not come to those families. Blood on the door. Interesting, right? Then you see Jesus entering the picture. And there's an analogy there with the blood on the door. And I want to read to us in John chapter 10. And we'll see some things together, okay? John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, we'll read there. Jesus is speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will not, by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Verse 6, I like this. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Have you ever been in that frame of mind before, reading the Bible, and you're like, I have no idea what they're talking about here? This was the same way for the folks that Jesus was talking to in this time. And so, but you have to understand that of all the domesticated animals, that sheep are the most helpless. I think you understand some things about sheep. We've talked about it before. You know, they'll spend their entire day grazing, wandering from place to place, but they depend on the help of a shepherd. If they were to become lost, they have no homing instinct like other animals do. It's not going to be, you know, like Milo and Otis, they find their way home or whatever it is, Homeward Bound, the movie with the dog and cat, and they, you know, find their way back. It doesn't happen. They're totally incapable of finding their way to the sheepfold, even if they are in plain sight of the sheepfold. If they're all alone, they are lost and helpless. The other thing about sheep is they're, you know, incredibly susceptible to predators. They're utterly helpless, really. Like if a wolf enters the pen, they won't defend themselves. They have, you know, no way to prevent themselves from being slaughtered. So instead, they huddle together. And it's like, all right, buffet time for the wolf. The only thing about them that they do fear is running water. So they, you know, won't, you know, drown in that respect if they find running water. They'll stay away from that. That's why the psalmist wrote in Psalm 23 that he leads me beside still waters. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me beside still waters. It's a beautiful analogy of how God, Jesus, our shepherd, leads us and guides us. Leads us by the green pastures. And we will fear no evil, for he's with us, right? But sheep are totally dependent upon the shepherd. He tends to them with care. He tends to them with this compassion. Shepherds were the superheroes of the day, if you will. They were the protectors. They were the guides. They were the constant companion of the sheep. So close was the bond between shepherd and their sheep that even today in Middle Eastern culture, that if a sheep were to go into a sheepfold and call out for his sheep, that the sheep would recognize his voice. Interesting. So the shepherd would lead the sheep to safe places to graze, make them lie down for several hours in a shady place. He's protecting them. And then as night falls, the shepherd would put the sheep into the protection of a sheepfold. So there are two kinds of sheepfolds or pens. One was kind of a public sheepfold found in the cities and villages in which there would be multiple flocks, you know, finding protection into one sheepfold. And so the sheep would be in the care of a porter or a doorkeeper whose duty it was to guard the door to the sheepfold at night. And so no predators could get in. But in the morning, the porter, the doorkeeper would open the door for the shepherds to come in. The shepherds would come in. They would call out for their sheep and then lead them out to pasture because they knew the shepherd's voice. So even in this passage, we see that Jesus says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hears his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So you see some context for what Jesus is saying there. Now let's continue. And I'll tell you about the other type of sheepfold in just a second. John chapter 10, verse 7, it says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door. Everybody say that. I am the door. I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. Say it again. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And then our famous verse that we love around here, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The second kind of sheep pen was one that you would find in the countryside, where the shepherds would keep their flocks in good weather. So this type of pen was nothing more than really a rough pile of rocks that was gathered in a circle, and the sheep would go into this, you know, circle of rocks, and there would be an open space for the sheep to enter in. Since there was no gate to close, just this opening, the shepherd would keep the sheep in and wild animals out by lying across the opening himself. He would sleep there, in this case, literally becoming the door for the sheep. So you see the analogy here, and what powerful statement Jesus makes when he says, I am the door. Like, literally, I am the one that's protecting you. I am the one that there's only one way in, there's only one way out. It's only through me that you can come in and out and find pasture. And I love the symbolism here. He's not only telling us that he is the shepherd, because he goes on to talk about, I am the good shepherd, but he says, I'm also the door for the sheep. Jesus is the door to heaven. Jesus is the door to eternal life. He is the one and only way. John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So we see here that Jesus is the door. Everybody say that. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. So if Jesus is the door, then faith would have to be the key. If Jesus is the door, then faith is the key. So we got locked out of our mission house in Nicaragua while we were there. Now, the house in Nicaragua, there was a gate, and there was a door you close, and the gate was locked with a padlock. And there was only one key to this padlock. And you know, it was in my care for the majority of the time. Unless somebody needed to get in or out, you know, if we had locked it because we needed to keep our belongings safe and whatnot, and we'd lock it at night so no thieves or robbers would come in. And so this single key opened the lock to the door. Well, at one point during the trip, I had to give the key to our host, Pastor Luis, and in giving the key to him, I had, you know, relinquished authority, if you will. Like, okay, here it is. I was the key holder. I had the key, and I was very, very secure and safe in that fact that I had the key. And whenever I give it to somebody, it was just always like, oh, I don't have the key anymore. What if I get locked out? And sure enough, man, we got locked out. We'd given the key to our host. He had gone with some other folks into Managua, which was 3 hours away. And I didn't really communicate to the rest of the team that, like, hey, don't lock the thing just in case. Thankfully, we had made it a habit to lock the thing behind us whenever we left. And so we left for the day. And then we came back and we needed to get ready for service. And we're like, oh, no, the door's locked. Who's got the key? They're looking to me to say, do you have the key? And I'm like, no, I don't have the key. I gave it to Pastor Luis. And he's not back yet. I mean, he left early in the morning. Surely he'd be back. And he wasn't back. We needed to get ready. And so we were scrambling, trying to get ready at the other house. And we didn't really have our clothes with us. And I was wearing a bathing suit. And I had to preach that night. And our other host, he's like a double X. And he's like, here, you can borrow some of my clothes. So I put some of his clothes on. It was hilarious. I don't think there are photographic evidence of that, hopefully. But, you know, I'm like, I'm going to make it work. So I showered and I put on his clothes. And I'm like, man, there's got to be a way to get in this door. I'm just frustrated. Like, I don't feel my best. I don't look my best. Like, what are we going to do? So we go over and I'm like, surely we can get in. Well, I had our translator call Pastor Luis. And I'm like, she said, has anybody called him? Maybe he put the key somewhere for safekeeping, you know. Why would he bring it with him 3 hours away just in case we needed it? And so they call him, and sure enough, he says, well, no, I left the key in the other house. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We went through all this. And so they look for the key. Well, the key is nowhere to be found. So they talk to Pastor Luis, and she says, well, you can break the lock. If you can get in, you can, you know, just break it. And so we're over there, and the way that the lock was situated, it was actually behind the bars of the gate. So like, there's no really easy way to like get a hammer in there and bang it. And we're trying to hit it with rocks and crowbar, some other kind of stuff that we were trying to be as ingenuity, you know, was out the window really, because we're like, this, nothing's working, you know. I'm like, John, use your secret powers, man, and like melt this thing, dude. He was no help. So there was this other guy who we called the Nicaraguan Eddie. I mean, it's true. He's kind of had the same mannerisms and stuff. We found a doppelganger for almost everybody in leadership at the church in Nicaragua. It was so strange. And so here he is, and he just happened to be there. He wasn't always around, but he just happened to be there, and we're like, hey, let's ask him for help. Surely he'll know what to do, and surely he did. He knew what to do. And so he's over there, and we're trying to finagle and get this lock open, and then ultimately he's like, I'll be back in a minute, and everybody's like, he just left. What happened? And sure enough, he comes back, and he's got the tools to open the lock, and we hammer it and crowbar it and do all kinds of stuff, and eventually we're able to get in. But I got to thinking about that, how many times we get locked out of stuff and somebody else has the key. Somebody else has the key. And I think about that, if Jesus is the door and faith is the key, there are many people that are, you know, the analogy could break down if we're not careful. But there are many people who are, quote unquote, locked out of a relationship with God because of sin. Right? So they're here, and they're wanting to have a relationship with God. They're wanting to experience all that maybe they've seen us experience in his presence. Maybe our life, we have more peace, we have more joy, and so they see those things. Maybe they've heard us talk about those things, and they desperately want those things, and they don't know how to get in. They're standing, they're banging on the door. Let me in, let me in, let me in. And they're trying to find their own way in through other religion, spirituality, new age. They're trying to find some way into a relationship with God. But Jesus says, I am the door. And if faith is the key, you and I, as believers, we have the keys. And so for many of us, we're 3 hours away in Managua when somebody else needs the key to get in. Through our silence, through our inaction, through not being bold enough to share our faith, people are locked out, and we've got the key, and they're feeling frustrated. They're feeling helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus says, I am the door, but faith is the key. And you and I have the key. Jesus even said in Matthew 16:19, behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Essentially, he's saying your faith is the key here. This is the key to the kingdom of heaven. This is how you get things done. This is how you get in. This is how you enter in. Furthermore, I believe there are even Christians who are, quote unquote, locked out of the abundant life because they don't know how to use the key. The key's missing. You see this. It's interesting that in this context of Jesus saying, I am the door, that we find our favorite verse of Scripture around here. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And we think the only thing that's preventing us from experiencing this life is that there's a devil, that he's the one stealing, he's the one killing, he's the one destroying. But Jesus says, I am the door. And if we're sheep, like the Scripture says that we're, you know, the simile and the metaphor is there that we're sheep, that if we're in the countryside, we're in the protection of the sheepfold, and if he is the door, then he's keeping out predators and thieves and robbers, it talks about here. The thief's going to come to steal, to kill, and destroy. But he says, I've come that you may have life, and you may have life and experience the abundant life because I am the door. I am the door. I'm the passageway to those things. And so even believers, we're locked out wondering, how can we get these things? And we think, okay, well, you know, the only way to financial provision is to read this get rich quick book, you know, and the only way to experience true health is to do that through doctors and natural medicine, or to go organic or whatever it is. And so we're looking for all kinds of ways to get in to what we esteem as the abundant life. But Jesus says, I'm the door. I am the door. He is the door. Why are we looking to get in through windows? Why are we looking to smash something over here to find our way, or try to find our way into an abundant life that He's already promised us, and He says, I'm the doorway to it? He doesn't say, I am a door. He's not one method out of many to the abundant life. He is the method. He said, I am the door. So stop looking to other means to the end. Because Jesus isn't a means to the end. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And only in Him will you experience the abundant life. But so many times we're knocking, let me in. And we think, okay, well, must be some sort of secret password, right? So we're expecting, we knocked on the door. It's invitation only, right? You see the little thing slide across. What's the password? Nobody told me the password. How do I get in here? But the door has a key. The key is faith. And you use your faith to open the door. And you enter into all the blessing that He has for you. And it's available. It's available through Christ. It's been made available through Christ. So there's two aspects here that we see. One is you have the key and you're off gallivanting in the city, withholding it from somebody else to enter in. And the other thing is the door is there. Jesus is the door, and you can enter into the blessings of the abundant life by utilizing your faith to open that passageway. Amen. Many people who are pounding on the door, locked out, so to speak. We as believers have the key to open the door. I found this scripture in Psalm 84, and we sing a song about it. Years ago, we used to sing this song. Better is, you know, one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. And that comes from Psalm 84:10. And look what it says here. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. He says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. What does he mean there? I would rather be a doorkeeper. Well, you think about the first type of sheepfold we talked about. There was a porter, there was a doorkeeper there who worked third shift, basically. You're like, I would rather, and we don't even realize how important that job is, though. One, you're keeping out predators, making sure nobody comes in to steal, to kill, or to destroy. And two, you're allowing passageway for the shepherd to come in to gather his sheep. If you're a doorkeeper in the house of God, then you're the one who opens the door and closes it, opens the door, closes it, keeps out predators. Man, so many times we relinquish people to their own fate, don't we? We look at their plight, we look at their situation, and we shake our head. If we're really crude or rude, we may say something like, man, it sucks to be them. But if a doorkeeper is one who prevents predators from coming in, and we see that John 10:10 says the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, wouldn't it make sense that you and I, as a doorkeeper in the house of God, would be one to stand in the gap for that person? And one way we do so is by offering them the keys so that they can gain their own passageway and ultimately become a doorkeeper themselves. But one thing we can do is say, that's not right. What you're experiencing is not right. And it may or may not be of your own doing, of your own free will, but that's not right. There is an enemy, and he's stealing and he's killing and he's destroying in your life. I want to stand with you to prevent that from happening. And here's how we can do that. That's how you come alongside somebody. That's how you don't just be like, ah, that's them. I mean, when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion, wasn't he? Because he saw them how? He saw them as harassed, as sheep without a shepherd. I wonder, we see people banging on the door. How do we view them? Oh man, I'm an insider. We may even be looking out the window to them. Why are they banging on this door? Haha, they can't get in. No. Let's utilize our faith and open the door and swing it wide open for all who would enter in. This isn't some prestigious club of Christianity. It's not. The invitation is for everyone. All who would call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is faith, calling upon the name of Jesus. And we open the door. We show people that there's one door. We recognize and we hand them the keys to that door. It's not locked. You can go on in. The door's open. You ever gone to visit family or friends and maybe they have a screen door or a glass front door and the real door on the inside is open? It's an open invitation. I mean, anybody could come in. I mean, there's some trust involved there, right? And you knock on the glass door and they're like, the door's open. Come on in. It was like that at my grandma's house growing up, and we would, standing invitation all the time. The back door always open, sliding glass door, and you just slide it up. It's open. It's not locked. How many times have we locked people out of the house of God? Through our judgment, through our criticism, through our fault finding. Y'all, Kristen did an amazing message on Wednesday night. Y'all got to go back and listen to that. Oh, man. We find fault in others and we find fault in ourselves, recognizing that because of what Jesus has done, he's made us the righteousness of God in Christ. So we see in Revelation 3:20 another door. And Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. What door is he talking about here? The door of your heart. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. I believe that for many of you today that Jesus would be standing at the door of your heart knocking. Can I come in? Because that's another element of it, isn't it? Jesus is the door to the kingdom of God, but you hold the door to the chambers of your heart. Interesting to me that the book of Revelation was written to multiple churches. And so he's not talking to outsiders here. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to believers. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He's inviting us into relationship. He stands at the door, the chambers of our heart, knocking. Because it's of our own will that we allow him to enter in, to experience true relationship with him. So wherever you're at in your relationship with God, where you feel like you are an outsider, one of those who's knocking on the door, banging on the door, let me in, let me in, let me in, or whether you're one who has already come inside the door, but yet all the rooms of your heart haven't been opened to him, he's knocking on the door of your heart. Open up. No more secrets, no more hiding. So many times we realize, we think that if God were to see us as we really are, then he wouldn't accept us. He wouldn't like what he sees. And that's why I say, go back and listen to that message from Wednesday night. I mean, it was amazing. Y'all make sure she knows I said that, okay? Brownie points. She's teaching the kids today. But we wonder, okay, if God were to see every secret, if God were to know what I did behind closed doors, would he still like me? Not even like, would he still love me, but would he still like me? And we think that about God, but we don't realize that God has x-ray vision, guys. He can see behind those closed doors. He knows what you've done, when you've done it. And the kicker is he loves you anyway. Because it's not of your own effort, not of your striving or your performance that pleases him. It's whether or not you've accepted what Jesus has done for you that makes him pleased with you. It's a test you can pass every single time. He loves you. So he would stand and knock on the door of your heart. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. I am the door. If you realized I am the door, then you would open the door of your heart and recognize that the passageway that I have for you is into the abundant life, is into my presence. There's no fear there. There's joy. There's only peace. We experience so little of the kingdom of God, don't we? We experience so little of the abundant life. I often think that it's because we may be just kind of straddling the entryway here, like one foot in and one foot out. And like Mama used to say, boy, you live in a barn? In or out? You know what I mean? You're letting the warm air in and the cold air out. Shut the door. Come in. If you're going to be in, come in. If you're going to be out, stay out. I think about, like, sometimes we're straddling the entryway. We haven't gone in. So we'll taste a little bit. We'll see what do you have in the foyer here. But we haven't gone in even far enough into the kitchen where the good stuff is. The milk and honey flowing in there, man. But we're okay to just peek in a little bit. Okay, that's the little blessing I need. Now let me try to find, let me go out here. But wait a minute, the world smacks us in the face. I am all over the place with this message and the analogies here, but y'all are with me, man. The world smacks us in the face, and maybe there's some stealing going on. It's the devil stole that blessing, so you're like, oh, what happens? So we don't live fully in the house of God, so to speak. We're seeking elsewhere for the things that we think we need. So we live very little of the abundant life that Jesus has died to bring us, because we're trying to do it ourselves so often. We don't realize that faith is the key to open the door, and we don't realize how we have access to everything that's in the house. I'm just saying. And not just me, but that's the scripture for you. So as we close today, recognize that Jesus is standing at the door of the chamber of your heart, and he's knocking and he's saying, here I am, open up, invite me in. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? I've got an invitation for you, same invitation that Christ would give. So he stands at the door of your heart knocking. Would you open your heart and invite him in? For some of you, you would identify with that of standing on the outside, trying to get into a relationship with God, realizing that you can't get in on your own, but all you have to do is receive from him and recognize that he is the door, the only way, the truth, the life to enter into a relationship with God. And you say, that's me. I need to enter into this relationship with God. I've never done that before. I need to call on Jesus. It's as simple as confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead. So if you would want to do that today as a first step in entering into the kingdom of God, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me, I need to do that. All across the room, anybody here, that's me, I have to do that. I need this relationship with God through Christ. Not because of my own effort or my own performance, but because of what he did for me. Glory to God, hallelujah. There's others of you here that Jesus would speak to you even as a believer. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. He's knocking on the door of your heart. He's moved upon your heart today, and he wants to enter into a relationship further than you've experienced thus far. You've only had a glimpse of what he wants to do in your heart, and you want more. You want to come fully in to the door that's available to you, and you say, "That's me. Just pray for me." Would you lift your hand up? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Would you stand to your feet right where you're at, everybody? I want to lead you in a prayer. Those of you who raised your hand and also others, I recognize that there even may be some that are watching by live stream who have yet to enter into a relationship with God. So we're going to say a prayer together to affirm our faith in Christ. Would you just repeat after me all over this place? God in heaven, I realize that Jesus is the door, and that I can enter in through faith. So Jesus, I make you my Lord. Be my Savior. Thank you for accepting me just how I am, but refusing to leave me that way. Because of your love, I am changed. Because of your grace, I am set free. I will live the abundant life. In Jesus' name, amen.